Hello and welcome to the Student Section podcast here on Sikkim 365. I'm your host, Addy Denair. On this podcast, I bring on a fellow Baylor student to talk about Baylor sports and then talk about a personal sports topic to my guest. This week, I was joined by Chewy Osanasik as we discuss the Baylor basketball and football games over the past couple of weeks. Let's talk about that homecoming game. What did you think about it?
I thought it was one of the most exciting games I've seen as a Baylor student. The actual game itself wasn't very pretty, and I think you could tell both teams were just scratching and fighting, getting anything that they could. But as a fan and as a student, being in that atmosphere and having us come out with the win, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was super up and down. The defense gave up 523 yards. The offense only got 402. You look at that and you say, wow, how did we come out with this win? But I think what it really came down to was Charlie Brewer.
I agree.
He came into the game, immediately handed off to John Lovett. While he didn't actually do anything other than hand the ball off, definitely showed some kind of a lot of momentum for the Bears.
Right. It's a sign of a good leader right there, coming in, changing the tide of the game. It was exciting. Yeah. It was encouraging to see as a Baylor fan.
75-yard touchdown run. At that time, I think we were down by 10, so we're trying to fight back into the game.
Right.
And that play right there kind of shot us back into the game, and then Charlie continued to make plays. I mean, 12.7 yards per play when Charlie went into the game, which is so cool. 17 plays for 216 yards, all three touchdown drives. And that was completely contradictory to the previous week against West Virginia, where Brewer threw three interceptions in the first half of the game. He had 1.9 yards per play before he was taken out of that game.
Some old school Baylor football we were able to see. A little flashback to what we were used to coming in.
Yeah, so that was so awesome to see them come back. Definitely, I was on the field at the game shooting video for Sikkim 365, and it was just incredible to see the smiling faces on the team and the fans because it was so... like you said, it was one of the more exciting games, especially for me. I mean, you were there when they were 6-6 2 years ago. I wasn't. Well, I've seen 1-11 and then this season. So definitely I would say this game was for sure my favorite game as a Baylor student at the stadium.
And that's one of the exciting things. Just looking at the student section as a whole, students were there, and they were there the whole time. And
for the first time this season.
Right. I think that the fans actually had an impact on the game. Like, we were loud, we were cheering, there was stuff to cheer about,
and the players feed off of that. They're jumping up and down, hyping themselves up, waving towels, getting the crowd into it.
I think it's the first time since you've been at Baylor where we've had a real home field advantage playing in McLean, which is exciting to see.
Yeah, and that was so awesome to see, especially after the game, when they all sing the Baylor line, all the players, after they went and shook the hands and prayed.
That's emotional.
They ran out immediately to the Baylor line and started hyping them up, cheering them on, which was so awesome to see, especially because, I haven't really seen that because usually by that time of the game, all the fans are gone.
Right, a real bloodbath.
But it was nice to see that all the fans were there. Jamming out to Mo Bamba and everything.
So much fun.
I think they played it twice, and I actually heard that the band might play it this coming weekend against TCU. So blackout game, and the band might play Mo Bamba. That would be interesting to see. It's kind of a rap song, so I don't know how they're going to work that into the band.
I could see Golden Wave doing a good job of Mo Bamba.
Golden Wave going through. Everyone's going to appreciate Golden Wave. All right, so we'll move on to the next game after the Baylor Bears took down Oklahoma State 35-31. They moved over to on the road against Iowa State, the Iowa State Cyclones. They unfortunately lost this game 28-14, but the scoreboard and the stats didn't really line up.
I agree.
I'll go through some of the stats that kind of were all over the place in terms of the scoreboard and the stats. So the Bears threw for 359 yards and ran for 146 for a total of 505. Charlie Brewer had 288 yards. 26 of his 36 passes were completions, and he had two touchdowns. He also had 12 rushes for 72 yards. Jalen Hurd caught five passes, 46 yards on the ground. And for Kedrick Vaughn's senior defensive back, had 13 tackles. He had no more than seven before that, before the game in Ames.
I love to see that.
Yeah. Ultimately, I mean, Iowa State had 355 yards to Baylor's 505, and they won by two touchdowns, which goes to show And there weren't turnovers. It wasn't necessarily a penalty-heavy game that the Baylors just got dominated in. It was essentially capitalizing opportunities. Baylor was 2-for-7 once they got to the red zone.
That's a devastating statistic there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You're playing in the cold. You're playing away at Iowa State. That's a really hard...
One of the coldest games.
Right.
Probably the coldest game of the year it will be.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think... I'm sure you're going to bring it up, but those two missed field goals.
Mm-hmm. Connor Martin from 31 and from 29 missed field goals.
I mean, you can't have that, especially in a cold game away so early in the game. You can't.
You need those points.
You need those points because it keeps you in it and it keeps everyone. You can't get cold. I'm from Minnesota. I played a lot of football in the cold.
Yeah.
And it's easy.
Points are hard to come by.
Hard to come by, and it's easy to get pretty stiff on the sideline, especially when things aren't going your way early. And I just wonder what that game would look like if we had those extra 6 points at the beginning.
Right, it changed the whole dynamic of everything, and it definitely does because, I mean, really if you think about it, they were 2-for-5 up until the last two drives where they actually ended up on downs. They probably would have ended up taking field goals if they weren't down 2 touchdowns.
Right.
But either way, you want to capitalize on those opportunities. You needed scores there, and you didn't get them.
Right.
And essentially, Iowa State was able to capitalize on all their opportunities that they got. And they were able to punch it in and score, and Baylor wasn't.
And those field goals are can of corn field goals. Those are cannot miss field goals.
Yeah.
I mean, get me out there, coach. Get me out there.
Oh, Chewy, I really don't think you can make an extra point, bro.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would like to see you even try.
I'm just saying, as a fan, it rips your heart out early seeing those not go in.
That's true. That's part of being a fan, is just looking at someone and saying, I can't do that, but I expect you to.
Right, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
But I also did love to see, before Charlie Brewer went out after the ridiculous ejection, stats, like I said, 288 yards, 2 touchdowns, 26-36 passing, 72 yards on the ground. That's incredible. And up until that point, he was dominating, getting them into position, but they couldn't capitalize on those opportunities, obviously. But you'd like to think if he wasn't ejected, he would have scored that on that drive. But we had Jalen McClendon in the game, and he unfortunately couldn't get it in.
Right.
And, I mean, I believe that Charlie probably would have got it in. I mean, that came off of... So what happened was there was a fight at the beginning of the game, towards the beginning of the game, where all players essentially got an unsportsmanlike conduct. And so Charlie actually on this drive where they were down 2 touchdowns, seemed to have a lot of momentum.
Right.
Slid, thought he got a first down, started arguing with the ref.
That's just sportsmanship. That's just competitive nature coming out.
Yeah, competitive nature coming out. And so naturally, Big 12 refs, as always, questionable calls, flagged him for an unsportsmanlike conduct. And, the rule is if you have two, and since the fight earlier, every player got one.
Yeah.
So he had 2 unsportsmanlike conducts, had to leave the game. And I can't think of a time where a quarterback was ejected. I legitimately can't, not NFL, not college.
No.
I can't think of a time where,
no.
Especially a time like that, where it was like a driving momentum play,
right.
Momentum
I think
drive.
As a ref, you need to understand. I understand giving everyone like unsportsmanlike conducts. I mean, especially if a fight breaks out like that, you want to make sure you keep the game in check. But with that in mind, I think that something drastic needs to happen if you're going to kick someone out of the game there.
Right.
And I just, when I saw that call, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I mean,
the refs definitely had no leeway at all. They had no room for any sort of argument at all. They just did not want any part of Charlie Brewer arguing. So they fall 28-14, but I don't think it's as bad as a loss as, say, the Cowboys lost to the Titans last week.
That's a bad
28-14. We got dominated entirely in that game, the Cowboys did. And in this game, Baylor clearly dominated. They just needed to capitalize on those opportunities, and that's why they lost.
And at this point, Baylor fans, Charlie Brewer is your man. If you don't like Brewer in the pocket as your quarterback, have you been watching the games?
Yeah, I mean, especially towards the end of the season, the last few games, he's really shown why he's the number one guy and not splitting time with McClendon.
And that's why you can't have quarterback by committee. Quarterback by committee does not work. Once you put confidence in a quarterback, you give him the ability to shine. You give him the ability to make plays. And if it doesn't work out, he gets back out there and he tries to make a play the next drive.
Yeah.
And that's once we gave Charlie Brewer that confidence, he's been amazing.
He exploded. And that's why I think that if you look back to the beginning of the season, Charlie kind of struggled to get it into a groove.
Right.
And I think that's mostly because he was out there half the time.
Right.
He was sharing time.
And how can you make big-time plays and try to make, like, game-changing plays when you know if you make a bad throw or throw an interception, you're going to be sitting on the sideline for the next drive.
Right, and it's hard to gain the respect from your teammates at the same time.
Right.
When you're thrown out of the game after even a touchdown-scoring drive, they're like, okay, repetition,
right.
two
right.
drives and out,
right.
McClendon's back in. So it was definitely a right decision to eventually put him in, and we've seen kind of the awesome results from Brewer out of that.
I agree.
So we'll move on to Baylor basketball. So unfortunately, I went to this game. It was rough. 72-69 loss in the home opener, in the opener for the season against Texas Southern. Baylor had 19 turnovers. That was more than any last season. 41% shooting from the field outside of King McClure. And King, I believe, had 23 points, which was tied for his career high. But
right.
everyone else, Matthew Mayer was 0 for 8. Jared Butler, 1 for 6.
Right.
Darius Allen, 1 for 5.
Right.
Young guys just couldn't get a groove, and it was very clear that they were flustered.
You hate to see that. A home opener, a really good Baylor basketball team, you would think, or one that should be winning games, and to see him come out flat in the home opener – it's just disappointing.
Yeah. You saw definitely the concerns for the team right off the bat. I mean, the concerns for the team were, you know, essentially there's not a lot of shooting on the team.
Right.
They're kind of short, but they're super athletic and
right.
can almost outrun people, and that's what they're planning to do. And they clearly looked like a team that lacked kind of skill and shooting, passing. They looked flustered in transition. Mm-hmm. A lot of transition turnovers, unforced errors.
Right.
And they just looked like they weren't ready to play, essentially.
Right. And they seem, most disappointingly, they seem like a team that was afraid to play to their strengths.
Right. They were trying to be last year's team, and they were not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You gotta transition.
With
this
all kinds
new
of
team.
New faces in there, you can't.
And talented new faces.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of young talent on this team, a lot of athletic talent that's going to need some shaping up. And fortunately, the next game against Southern. So first game we played Texas Southern, and then second game we played Southern University. Confusing. But we got the win 80-53. More like what we come to expect from the Baylor Bears in these early games. One of the big things was in that first game, Baylor had 12 assists against Texas Southern in the loss. They had 12 assists on 30 makes. And then in this second game, in the win, they had 19 assists on 28 makes. So clearly, when you see that high percentage, you're looking at a team that knows how to move the ball and move the ball well.
Right.
And if you look at a team like, say, Golden State in the NBA, they have a 68% assist rate, assist
mm-hmm.
to field goal make
mm-hmm.
rate. And that was exactly 68%, 19 for 28. That was exactly 68%. They also cut down on turnovers, 9 turnovers, which was huge.
Yeah.
Going from 19 to 9
it's
was
a
big
difference. Not great, but still a good
difference. They looked better. And King only scored 2 points. He went from being the only guy that could seem to put the ball in the basket to only scoring 2 points. Saw some better play from a lot of the younger players as well there. And then last night we had the Bears edging Prairie View A&M 91-80. This was an emergence from Jared Butler, who is a freshman.
Yeah.
22 points on 7-10 shooting. King added 21. Tristan Clark 17-7. More like what we would come to expect.
Right.
I think you probably would have liked them to win by a little bit more points. I think defensively they looked pretty bad in this game.
I agree.
The thing that really stood out was the offense, and it was really flowing, and the younger guys kind of got a more flow into the game, and definitely good to see Jared Butler, the freshman, coming out and playing that way.
Right, you love to see a young guy with confidence out there.
If you'd like to listen to the rest of the podcast, type in Bear With Us on the Apple Podcast app or follow the link in the description.